Let's turn to the Gospel of John, John chapter 3. And I will read three verses, verses 19, 20, and 21. John chapter 3, beginning with verse 19. This is the Word of God. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men loved the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. May the Spirit of God bless his word to our hearts. The Bible is brutally honest. And because it is, and doesn't pull punches, we frequently find things that are hurtful and distressing. Things that we don't want to hear. And this is one of them. For John, recording the words of our Lord, tells us in verse 19, men love darkness rather than the light. Now, in one sense, we shouldn't be surprised. You listen to the evening news and you know, men love darkness more than the light. You recall the images of 9/11, and you know, men love darkness rather than light. You uncover the killing fields of Cambodia and Rwanda and Iraq, and you know, men love darkness rather than light. But Jesus isn't talking about the world out there. This judgment, this verdict, comes right into this room. This verdict looks right into our hearts and says of us, we love darkness more than the light. And it gets worse. He says in the next verse that we not only love the darkness, but we hate the light. We not only resist the light, we despise the light. It's sort of like how you handle a telemarketer. My wife resists them. They'll call at dinner time, and my wife will answer the phone, and I can hear her say, yes, but, well, and she'll listen to the whole spiel, and finally at the end she'll say, well, I'm sorry, but I'm not interested, and hangs up. Now that's resisting darkness. When I answer the phone, I hate the darkness. And I will say, what? You're calling me at supper time to sell steak knives? What kind of a creep are you? And I slam the receiver down. You see, there's a difference. You can resist something, and you can hate something. And what Jesus is telling us here is that we not only resist the light, we despise the light. Skip Ryan says, we're all like cockroaches. And you go into a room and you flick on the light, and all the cockroaches scurry across the floor, seeking out darkness. They hate the light. They despise the light. And Jesus says, that's us. That's us. We come to this conference saying we want to seek the light of God to understand our suffering, to understand our pain. But Jesus also says, we resist that light. We despise that light. And we want to hold on to our darkness. Now, those of you who have been around CCEF, who have taken courses before or attended a Living Faith conference, you know that we talk a lot about the idols that are in our hearts, those things that we love really deep down more than we love Jesus, those things that we think will make our lives work, which have nothing to do with the gospel. Well, let me tell you, if you were an idol worshiper before suffering or loss or pain or tragedy came into your life, you will probably remain an idol worshiper after that tragedy, suffering, pain, or loss has come into your life. If you were into power, chances are you will take your suffering, your loss, your disappointment, and use it to manipulate so that you can gain power and control over others in your life. If you are into acceptance and pleasing others and being affirmed by others, chances are you're going to use your suffering, your pain, your loss, your disappointment to get more approval and recognition and affirmation from others. If you are into comfort and you despise stress and responsibility and wanted to avoid it, chances are you will use your suffering to get you that lack of responsibility and more comfort and ease. You see, if you were an idol worshiper before your suffering, you'll be an idol worshiper after your suffering. And when you come to this conference and you expose yourself to the gospel, it's not just that you're going to get helpful hints on how to deal with your pain and your loss and your tragedy. Your heart is going to be exposed, and you don't want that. You will resist that. Jesus says you will hate that. You say you want the light, but you love the darkness. This is sure getting this conference off to a happy note, isn't it? What do we do? Here's the indictment. We hate the light, we love the darkness, and we bring all of that into our pain and our suffering. In order to know what to do with that, I want you to focus on verse 21. And here we find how we handle this problem. How we handle the problem of loving darkness and hating the light. And there are three things I want to bring out of verse 21. And I hope you will remember these three things and use them as kind of a paradigm or a framework, an outline in which you process all the things you're going to hear in this conference today and the next 2 days. And here are the three things. Come, see that word, verse 21? But he who practices the truth comes to the light. That's the first thing. Second, does the truth. My version says practices the truth. That easily could be rendered does the truth. That's the second thing. And the third thing is so that the works of God can be revealed. Three things. Come, do the truth, expose the works of God. Now, I want you to compare that just for a moment with the previous verse, verse 20. Now look up here for a second, would you please? I appreciate that you're reading the stuff that Winston handed out, but look up here just for a second. Just for a second, okay? Here we got those three things. Come, does the truth, exposes the works of God. Compare that with the previous verse, verse 20. Hates, does evil, doesn't want his works exposed. See the parallel? Hates the light versus comes to the light. Does evil versus does the truth. Doesn't want his works exposed. Sees the works of God exposed. See the parallel between those two? Okay, you can go back to reading. Now that you see that. Let's talk about those three. And I want you to remember them as you go through this conference. Come, do the truth, expose the works of God. Come. That's the first thing. It's interesting because that come, as we've noted, is parallel with hate in the preceding verse, verse 20. We would think that Jesus would say in verse 21, but he who practices the truth loves the light. I mean, that would be the obvious parallel between the two, wouldn't it? But he doesn't say that. He doesn't say that you have to love the light. He says you have to come to the light. He doesn't say that you have to delight in the light. He says you've got to come to the light. He doesn't say you have to feel good about the light. He says come to the light. And the verb he uses is in the present tense, which means it's a continuous action. You don't just come to the light once, you come to the light again and again and again and again and again. You don't just throw the light switch on at night in your home once and never touch it again. You've got to throw that light switch on again and again and again and again in order to dispel the darkness. Day after day, night after night, you've got to throw that light switch. And Jesus is saying here, you have to come to me again and again and again and again so that my light shines on your darkness. And you don't have to like it. You don't have to feel good about it. But you better come to me. Call out to me. You might have to call out to me like that pathetic father did whose son was demon-possessed. I believe, O Lord, help my unbelief. And when you come to Jesus, you are shouting, I don't understand what you're doing. I don't like what you're doing. I can't figure out how you could be a loving and a good God and still do it. But I'm coming to you because I have no one else to come to. So you come to Jesus with your pain. You come to Jesus with your troublesome kids. And you come to Jesus with your strained marriage. And you come to Jesus with your disease. And you come to Jesus with your dead-end job. And you say, Lord, I have no one else to go to. I'm bringing it to you. I'm coming to you. I'm coming to you. That's the first thing. You're going to call out to Jesus. Second thing. He who does the truth comes to the light. You got to come. And the second thing is you have to do the truth. Strange expression, but that's what the text says. You have to do the truth. Two things about that. I just saw the clock is clicking. And you don't know that, but that television screen has a clock on it. And it's telling me how much time I have left, and I can't figure it out, so I got to pause and disturb all of you and see what it says. Okay, now I got it. I got 9 minutes left. You got that? Now I have 8:54 left. Where was I? Oh, two things about doing the truth. Truth! What a claim. Jesus says there is truth that you can do. And he's saying, and you know this, I am the truth. The light and the truth are just intertwined in John's gospel. The light reveals the truth, and the truth brings light into our darkness. Jesus says, come to the truth. I am the truth. Now, you know, we live in a culture and we live in a time when people are telling us there is no truth. For the first 1,500 years of the modern era, the church told us what was true. There was an absolute truth, and it was God, and the church told us what that truth was. And then for 500 years, roughly, we're told that you can only know the truth through your rationality, through thinking, through the scientific method. There is a truth out there, but the church isn't going to tell you what it is. Only your ability to reason and to use the scientific method will reveal the truth. But we have entered a time, and you probably know this, where we are now being told there is no truth. The church can't tell you what the truth is, and science can't tell you what the truth is, because there is no truth. Everybody does his own truth. Everybody figures out for himself what the truth is. It's sort of like, remember when you were in lit classes in college or in high school, and you might be reading a poem or a short story, and then you have a discussion about, well, what does it mean? And one person says, well, it means this, and another person says, no, it means this, and a third person says, well, no, this is what I get out of it. And you might have 15 people in that room, and you might get 10 different opinions about what the truth is, and our culture is telling us all of those are legitimate. All of them are right. But what would happen if the author of that poem or the author of that short story walked into the room and said, this is what it means? Now, you wouldn't say to him, no, it doesn't. What I think it means is what it means. You wouldn't do that. The author wrote it. He knows what it means. You know what Jesus is saying here when he says, do the truth? He says, the author of your life has broken into your world, and he tells you what the truth is. It isn't that there's some abstract truth out there that God has written. Truth is a person who comes into our lives and says, I have made you. I have made you for myself. This is the purpose that I had in mind when I made you, and I'm here to tell you who and what you are. That's the claim that Jesus is making. There is no other truth. I am the truth. A radical claim, a radical claim. There is no other religion that makes that claim. All other religious leaders point you to the truth. Buddha points to the truth. Confucius points to the truth. Jesus says, I am the truth. And then he says, do it. Do it. Do the truth. Strange expression, isn't it? We uphold the truth. We believe the truth, but do the truth? You see what Jesus is doing? He's taking a noun and he's turning it into a verb. He's saying, truth is something that you do. Truth is something you order your life by. Truth is something that you live out in all of your relationships. So, I'm going to take that noun and I'm going to turn it into a verb, and I'm going to challenge you to act on that verb throughout this conference. Jesus is saying, truth, your life. Bring your suffering to Jesus and truth it. Bring your pain to Jesus and truth it. Bring your disappointments to Jesus and truth them. And what does it mean to truth them? It means to order your life by what Jesus says about them. And again, you don't have to like it. You might have all kinds of doubts in your mind and your heart about what you are hearing, but I don't care. The challenge that this text is putting before us for this conference is you truth your suffering. You're going to hear things like this momentary light affliction cannot be compared to the eternal weight of glory. Truth it. Believe it. Order your life as if it's true. You're going to hear all things work together for good, even that pain and that disappointment and that tragedy that's in your life. God is working that out for good to make you more like His Son. Truth it. Lay hold of it. Believe it. Act as if it's true. You're going to hear things like, when I am weak, then I am strong. Therefore, I will glory in my infirmities, because when I am weak, Jesus is strong. Truth it. Lay hold of it and order your life by it. Come to Jesus with your pain. Truth your pain. And a third thing, and I'll do this quickly because I only have a minute and 37 seconds left. Let the works of God be exposed in you. You see, the one who does evil doesn't want to come to the light because he doesn't want his heart exposed. But Jesus says at the end of verse 21, you come not so that your works can be exposed, because we know what they are. You come so that the works of God in you can be exposed. And the more you come to the light, the closer you come to the light, the more you truth your life, you will see the wonder of what God has done in your heart. You will see the wonder of the gospel. I want you to turn back. What's that rumble? Is that me? Am I rumbling? Okay. I want you to look at John chapter 1, verse 5. Real quick. 35 seconds. John 1, verse 5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. The light, Jesus, shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overpower it. The darkness did not defeat it. The darkness did not crush it. The darkness did not overwhelm it. But for 3 hours on that horrible Friday, it seemed as if the darkness won. From noon to 3 o'clock, he who loved the light and only loved the light was enshrouded with darkness. Why? Because all of your darkness was poured out on him. And it seems as if dark won. But on Sunday, the world awoke to a new day. Jesus burst out of that tomb, the light of life, and he sheds his light abroad in our hearts. You see, you come to the light and you truth your life and you know it's all about Jesus. The gospel has replaced your love of darkness with his love of light. The gospel has taken your sins away and replaced them with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And the closer you get to the light, the closer you get to the light, the closer you see the gospel, the closer you see the wonderful works of God in your midst. And so, my friends, here is my challenge to you. As you go through all your workshops and hear all the plenary sessions and talk among yourselves, come to Jesus with your pain. Truth your pain. And let the works of God, the wonderful works of the gospel, be manifested in your hearts. Let us pray. Father God, we confess that we are like those cockroaches who scurry for the darkness. And we want to handle our pain and our suffering in the ways we've tried to handle all of our lives. And that's no good. That's no good. And so I pray that you will help each person in this room today and tomorrow and the next to come to Jesus with their pain, to let Jesus truth their pain, and to see the wondrous works of your gospel in their hearts. Bless us to that end, for we pray in the name of him who is the light. Amen.